Good morning, everyone. It's my privilege to be here in this spectacular church and to celebrate the Mass with our friend, Father Pepe, who today, together with his father, celebrate the day of their baptism. So we congratulate them. It's a beautiful feast and solemnity that we celebrate today. 9 months before the angels on high could sing peace on earth, goodwill to men over Bethlehem, a lone archangel was sent to a maiden in Nazareth, and there he greeted her. He came to that maiden who perhaps is the daughter of the Most High, as far as some people describe her. She was also a descendant of the royal line of David, long since lost, losing its spectacular nature. And yet in this humble abode, there is this maiden of Nazareth. She is descendant of a royal line of a unique people who had a unique relationship with a God who wanted to save all mankind. That unique heritage also was manifested in that magnificent temple in Jerusalem, far away to the south of Nazareth. And yet, in that home of Nazareth, there was a temple that was most beloved of the Holy Spirit. For within the Spirit of Mary, there resided the Holy Spirit. From the moment that she was conceived, Mary was full of that Holy Spirit. And as she grew in faith and knowledge of the destiny and heritage that the chosen people of which she was a member was given, then she dwelt in faith in that love that the God had given to the chosen people. They had a unique destiny also, as Mary was aware of, that from this royal line of David, there would be a Messiah born for the salvation of mankind. Unbeknownst to everybody but the divinity itself, there was this chosen vessel, a most beloved temple of the Lord, who was a resident in this humble Nazareth home. And there she dwelt in stillness and in quiet. In that home, there was a fullness of heritage that resided in the person of Mary. There's a fullness of grace that the divinity knew of. And we are told, too, that there was Mary full of faith in that God in whom she trusted. One thing was not full, and that was the womb of Mary. And if I can read Pope Benedict XVI's meditation correctly, there was an emptiness there. There wasn't a barren emptiness. It was an emptiness that was full of total receptivity. And the divinity, seeing that disposition of total receptivity in this woman of faith, sent the archangel to her to ask her whether she would be the mother of the Son of God. Here was the divinity, the Son of God, willing to empty himself into this total receptivity. And the archangel came with that question, which many of the fathers of the church and Saint Bernard himself was just simply waiting the reply of this virgin at Nazareth. What should she reply to this invitation sent by God through this archangel? And when she said yes, behold the handmaid of the Lord, this total receptivity was able in some way through divine grace receive total divinity and the Son of God, was born of this virgin maiden. A magnificent moment in our history when God became man because of the willingness of the Virgin to be the mother of the Son of God. That's what we celebrate today. And isn't it a tremendous inspiration to all of us who are willing to be so receptive to God in our lives that we open ourselves as fully as possible to receive this magnificent God of ours, as Mary showed us a long time ago. And there are some of us who are willing to give that kind of same capitulation to divinity in our life, as we see demonstrated in this maiden of Nazareth, our queen, our mother, Mary. So let us be holding in very much, gratitude to our Blessed Lady, who gave us that kind of inspiration and example, that we may be able to follow her in such a way that the Lord will do wonders in us, though we are weak, though sometimes we feel empty. But let's not be barren in the sense. Let us realize where our power comes from, like Mary knew, that the Most High gave her this kind of power in order to be a handmaid of the Lord, a total and full handmaid of the Lord. If all of us could, replicate in our lives that kind of receptivity in our lives of God coming to us, if we could serve in the style of our Blessed Lady, then we too would be moving Marian people throughout the world. And besides, we know that the Lord did wonders to our Blessed Lady. He would do wonders to us. There's one thing about this uniqueness of Mary, and that is for just 9 months, she alone, in that total receptivity of her chaste womb, was able to let divinity take its shape in the form of the Word made flesh. And that is the feast we celebrate today. That God descended to man because of the receptivity of that person who was willing to live, to act, and to be the handmaid of the Lord. Once again, good morning. The handbook of the Legion of Mary mentions true devotion to Mary in at least 3 places. On page 37 in the handbook, the Legion states that it is true devotion to Mary which gives the Legion apostolate its distinctive character. In that section, the Legion develops that notion through 4 pages. The second mention of true devotion occurs in chapter 16, wherein the Legion demonstrates its concern for the auxiliaries and envisions that the active legionaries will help to develop in the auxiliaries a true devotion to the Blessed Lady in order that they may enhance their holiness. The third reference is in Appendix 5 in the handbook. It's in the title, The Confraternity of Mary, Queen of All Hearts. And in this section, the handbook underlines the ultimate reason for giving oneself entirely to Mary, and that is in order to give himself entirely to Jesus. So our reflections at this time will help our attempt to integrate some of these notions in order to define the specific devotion to Mary, which ought to be in the entire Legion membership and ought to ignite and inflame legionary apostleship. Somewhere in the handbook, a legionary is reminded that he is not obliged to do anything more to fulfill his baptismal promises and vows than any other Catholic who is apostolic. The Legion claims and boasts about the fact that it can actually mobilize those Christians. The apostolate is in a response to the ascension mandate of the Lord, given by the risen Lord when he was ascending into heaven. It engages us in spiritual pursuits. It requires supernatural virtues. It entails a program, a formation, and a plan of implementation in order to spread the good news of God's love to the ends of the earth. It is an apostolate which is meant to be accomplished in collaboration with others, rather than in an isolated or solitary fashion. What the Legion provides to the Catholic lay apostle, therefore, is a way in which a life of a Catholic apostle could be lived and fashioned by Catholic tradition and by the Scriptures. The apostolate fulfilled in the style of the Legion of Mary is sustained with the collaboration of Mary, the maternal mediatrix of all graces, with her divine spouse, and with all her devoted soldier children. This style will give the lay apostolate, to the Legion's lay apostolate, a distinctive character, which will be singularly Marian in spirit and legionary in deportment. Adopting St. Louis de Montfort as its tutor, the Legion encourages the legionary to practice true devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. There are two facets of the Legion's promotion of true devotion. The first, of course, is a formal entry into a compact with Mary, which you are going to do this morning, or you're going to do for the first time, or you're going to renew that compact. The Legion is encouraged to give his whole self, with all his thoughts, all his deeds, all his possessions, spiritual, temporal, past, present, future, without reservation of even the smallest particle or smallest idea or thing. The first step may prove to be intimidating for many a prospect, for it demands a certain attitude of mind and spirit. The status, that attitude, is equivalent to that of a slave, possessing nothing of his own, and wholly dependent on Mary. Not many of us have good regard for the topic of slavery, and yet St. Louis de Montfort tries to identify two different kinds of slavery in order that we may comprehend what is really necessary and is requisite for being called a slave of Mary. There is the unwilling, oppressed slave. And then there's the willing, and the one who was really meant to serve in the style of a servant, completely abandoning himself to our Blessed Lady. The slave in service of Mary, therefore, is more impoverished than an ordinary slave. Because an ordinary slave even retains his own kind of tenets in his own mind, his own kind of spirit and attitude, so to speak, to a certain degree. But a slave of Mary gives everything to our Blessed Lady. It's certainly intimidating, isn't it? When we realize that everything that we have, everything that we can have, everything is going to be surrendered to Blessed Lady. But that's that kind of martyrdom that is necessary for us to be a servant slave Mary. And the reason why we do that is because when we surrender ourselves to Mary, she is able to enhance everything we give her, whether it be frail or fragile. She can make us stronger. Monsignor Falls, who used to talk about pre-devotion to Mary, always tried to impress upon us the fact that whenever we give something to Mary wholeheartedly, she wraps it up to make it look better. She can enhance it because her special touch to anything that we might surrender is going to be given to the Lord because it passed through her hands. Because it passed through her efficacious graciousness. How many of us have reached that kind of slavery? My own personal opinion is this, that no matter how roundly we profess ourselves to be consecrated to Mary, at one age in our life, we think we're giving everything. But as we go on, we rediscover there's more that we can give. So the renewal of the consecration becomes meritorious even more so because we know what more we can give. Nobody knows at the age of, the teenage, what you can give when he's already an elder citizen. There's so much more that that elderly citizen can give. And as a result, our constant renewal of the consecration into our Blessed Lady, we find that annually, or as often as we do so, we can go deeper and deeper into her slavery. Meritorious. So that's the first thing we have to worry about. Develop that kind of attitude of mind and spirit that we're willing to be, noticed as a slave of Mary. We may feel we're impoverished, though we have put our entire weakness, our entire selves, into the treasure that is Mary. And somebody has pointed out that there's only one office that a Blessed Lady is mentioned of in the handbook. Not president, not vice president, but treasurer. She holds the wealth of what we can give to the Lord. So the second phase, after we've developed this kind of attitude that we're willing to be a slave of Mary, is that we have to make a formal act of consecration, which is going to be done today. Once we have made up our mind that we can accept this kind of slavery, at least insofar as we are capable at this particular moment, then we are going to submit it all to our Blessed Lady by making an act of consecration to her. That accomplished, we can enter into the second facet of true devotion. And here's where it comes meaningful. After the solitary act of consecration, the Legion must let that consecration affect every phase of his life. That consecration has got to be active every moment of that person's life. Here's a few suggestions how that consecration may become active. Recite every day, "I am all yours, my queen and my mother, and all that I have is yours," after your morning offering. Make that a kind of prayer and formula in your life, that no matter what you do that day, you're offering up to our Blessed Lady, queen and mother. Concentrate on at least one principal virtue of Mary. There are 10 of them listed on page 3 in that section that tells the virtues of Mary. And coupled with their adjectives and modifiers, we have a long way to go to adopt perhaps a style of profound humility or absolute faith. But pick a virtue, one a week, one a day, and try to imitate that and try to act it out in your daily routine. Participate as attentively as possible to all the Legion commitments and all the Legion requirements, meetings, and assignments, and try to do it with full heartedness in such a way that any moment you can say that you've done your very best to offer up your very best to the very best Queen and Mother that we have. Allow the spirit of the Legion Mary to season every thought and action you do, whether it's outside Legion meeting or whether it's outside of Legionary family, but let the flavor of your legionary discipline, the flavor of your legionary asceticism, touch everything in your life. That's where it surrenders everything to our Blessed Lady. There's a slogan we have for that first phase. The first phase, say, pick a day and give yourself away. There's a slogan to the second phase, and I would suggest that it was something like this, that each and every day that Mary show you her love. In the Appendix 5 of the handbook, those who practice true devotion are further encouraged to be enrolled in the Confraternity of Mary, Queen of All Hearts. And we mentioned before, you know, why that appendix noted, mentioned it's so very important. Because it gives us the purpose why we consecrate ourselves entirely to Mary. So that she can help us to consecrate ourselves entirely to Jesus. For we all know that Mary's greatest vocation in life is to lead us all to her Savior, Jesus Christ. Why is true devotion encouraged by the Legion of Mary? It deepens the interior life of the Legion. It fosters unselfishness and protects purity of intention. Improves our supernatural outlook on the ordinary things in life. We see behind what we really see with our eyes. We see with the eyes of faith, the eyes of Mary, that faithful disciple of the Lord. It develops a definite courage in our life, and it refines humility. The handbook clearly states that selfishness is the prime hindrance to making the consecration. So if we can master that kind of giving of ourselves, abandoning ourselves, losing even a consciousness of our own desires, and surrendering ourselves to Mary, and she will take it, wrap it up beautifully, accept it lovingly, and pass it on beneficially to our Blessed Lord. Lastly, when one lives a life of true devotion to Jesus through Mary, he should not be surprised when he walks away with 12 baskets of leftovers after he's given a mere morsel of his own.